It took two wars, but as we saw last time, the Emperor Trajan finally got the job done in Dacia. By the year AD 107, the crafty Dacian king Decebalus was dead, and Rome had itself a new province, one supposedly flush with gold and silver. Trajan had a few extra zeros in his imperial bank account, and with all that new money, Trajan launched into a monumental construction campaign that remade the center of Rome. And so today we're going to talk about Trajan's Forum. The Forum is not just an interesting architectural wonder. It offers a glimpse into the minds of several Romans at the time, not only members of the Senate who dedicated the Forum, but also in some ways to Trajan. Trajan's Forum suggests that this best and greatest emperor had a megalomaniacal streak. So how did Trajan manage to get away with such grandiosity when many of his predecessors found themselves dead for the same thing? Let's talk about it on this episode of the Pax Romana podcast. Episode 31, Touring Trajan's Forum. In the year AD 105, the Dacian War hadn't even ended yet, and yet it was around that year that the Roman Senate awarded Trajan a title that no other emperor had received, Optimus Princeps, that is in English, the best emperor. Trajan was given this honor not so much for his military victories or really any other achievements at this point, but really because the bar for greatness in a Roman emperor had been brought so low by several previous emperors like Domitian and Nero and Caligula. But there was a big difference between Trajan and those emperors. Trajan didn't murder members of the Senate. He didn't confiscate their property. And so senators were happy to not only have their lives and their status and their wealth kept safe, they were over the moon about it. And so they honored Trajan with this exuberant title. And as we'll see in a moment, quite a bit more. But it's really interesting because Trajan gets this title so early in his reign, he would go on to rule another decade after being named Optimus Princeps. Normally, this would be plenty of time for a Roman emperor to screw things up. But Trajan would go down in history as rising to the expectations of those around him and earning that majestic title. Part of Trajan's legacy is set in stone and still standing in Rome to this day. With the funds that Trajan won from the Dacian War, the emperor embarked on a transformative building spree in the capital of the Roman Empire. The campaign in Dacia allowed Trajan to beautify the city, improve infrastructure, but also to advertise his own greatness. After all, each monument and building and surface that he put up acted as a canvas that Trajan's architects and engineers and designers could use to portray the victories and the attributes of the emperor. And the centerpiece of their efforts, the absolute epitome of Trajanic glorification, was the largest forum that had ever been built and would ever be built in Roman history, the Forum of Trajan. Fortunately for us, some parts of the Forum continue to stand in Rome to this day, including parts of its multi-storied marketplace and 70,000 square foot basilica, but also the 100 foot tall column that commemorates Trajan's victory over the Dacians. In all, the entire complex was so large that it simply couldn't fit in the space between Rome's hills, and so Trajan needed an expert architect to carry out this project with its stunning scale. Who'd he hire? Well, the same guy that just finished that huge bridge across the Danube. We talked about that bridge, by the way, in episode 30, if you want to go back and check that out. As you might remember from that episode, that project required quite a lot of movement of both land and water. And for the Forum, Trajan was going to have to cut into at least two of Rome's fabled seven hills, the Capitoline and the Quirinal Hills. Archaeologists estimate that by the time the forum was completed, around 10 million cubic feet of earth and rock were taken by hand, mind you, out of the center of Rome and then dumped outside the city gates to make room for Trajan's forum. 10 million cubic feet of earth by hand. Incredible. So what did Trajan do with the space that he gained from clearing out all that dirt? Well, instead of just having one big, large open space, which is kind of what we see in the forums of Julius Caesar and Augustus, Trajan's forum contained two courts. They were a little bit smaller, both paved with beautiful whitish-blue Tuscan marbles. In front of the first court was the Basilica. This was a towering structure, probably the tallest structure in the forum, 150 feet tall. It was near the center of the complex. And on top of the central entrance to the Basilica, there was a gilded bronze four-horsed victory chariot, two smaller chariots on either side, and then a couple colossal statues of the Emperor Trajan as well. The bronze would have been polished, it would have shone in the sun. And then the building itself, this Basilica, was a kind of massive open hall, a central focus for the political and judicial life of the city of Rome. Much like the three-storied markets, which are largely still intact to this day. They're normally the first thing that you go into if you go to the site of Trajan's Forum. Those markets were a center of economic life in the city of Rome after they were completed. Well, as one went through the Basilica and made it towards the rear of that building, rising into the air, could be seen Trajan's column. High walkways ran on either side of the column so viewers could gaze at the continuous frieze that wound up the column, showing 155 scenes that told the story of Trajan's Dacian conquests. The lower half of the column showed the First War, and then the upper half, the Second War. Interestingly, many of the scenes do not show violence. Instead, Roman soldiers march in orderly fashion. They're well disciplined. They're also often productive. Many of the scenes show soldiers constructing forts and laying roads, knocking down trees. The idea here was that Trajan's military is not composed of the types of soldiers that many Romans would remember from the past few decades, soldiers that would turn on civilians, or senators, soldiers that would participate in civil wars and coups and usurpations. No, these are Trajan's soldiers. They follow him without question, they do what he says, and they are builders of civilization, not destroyers. Some scenes from the Dacian War aren't even on the column. These were memorialized on a different Trajanic monument, one of his many victory arches. Now, that arch doesn't exist anymore, but you can still see a few of the panels if you jet over near the Colosseum and you look for the Arch of Constantine. It's easy to see. It's the largest triumphal arch that any Roman ever built, and it was constructed in the 4th century AD. Constantine's engineers did not come up with their own original art for much of the arch. Instead, they stole stuff from previous emperors, including from one of Trajan's triumphal arches. And so we can find on Constantine's arch memorials of Trajan's victory against the Dacians. You can see scenes where the Dacians are fleeing in panic, terrified of Roman soldiers bearing down on them. And I think the idea here is that the Roman onslaught into Dacia was so overwhelming that Dacian discipline collapsed. Their fragile, barbarian minds, as the Romans would see it, were broken. The scene suggests that the Dacians were simply too weak to rule themselves and that it was justified that the Romans marched in and took their land. But if we go back to the column of Trajan, we can also find a few gory scenes. On one panel, a Dacian fort looms over the invading Roman soldiers, and the fort's walls are topped with spikes, fitted with the rotting heads of Roman prisoners of war. In another scene, four Dacian women use torches to torture two naked and humiliated Roman men. Finally, there's a scene where the Emperor Trajan gladly receives severed Dacian heads brought by his soldiers. Historians think that the emperor probably offered bounties for each Dacian head, and that's what the scene shows. Otherwise, though, the column really is pretty muted when it comes to the brutality of war. It's a bit of a surprise compared to the more common violence that we see in Roman portrayals of conquered people. Why the subtlety? Trajan likely wanted Romans to see the column and to think of Dacia as a true province of the empire. Trajan was an expansionist at heart. His personal hero was Alexander the Great, who conquered one of the largest and far-reaching empires in all of Greco-Roman antiquity. The Romans were to be shown as bringing civilization to a barbaric land. Okay, they were doing it by force, but ultimately, it was for the good of both the Romans and the Dacians. At least that's what they want you to believe. Now, I think one of the most intriguing aspects of Trajan's column is the inscription at its base, which you can still read to this day. The inscription lists Trajan's honorifics, his titles, the offices he held, and it also mentions his divine nature. And the inscription ends by saying that the column marks, quote, that a mountain of this height was excavated for these works. In other words, the column's height is not accidental. It's roughly 100 feet in height is meant to show the amount of rocks and dirt and rubble that were pulled out of the area to build the forum. Also, staying at the base of the column for a second, when Trajan died, his ashes were placed behind the inscription. And this too was done on purpose. Trajan's mortal body remained buried in the capital city that he transformed. And then as you look up the column, you read about Trajan's military victories that ascend, in many ways, just like Trajan's soul ascended and was translated into that of a god. The top of the column used to feature a statue of the divine Trajan, his apotheosis complete. Now, if the column didn't hammer home the idea that Trajan became a god, there was still one more part of the forum that a visitor would encounter. From the column, there was yet another courtyard, the second courtyard in the forum. And that courtyard fronted the forum's only temple. This wasn't a temple to any Roman god, or any Greek god for that matter. It was a temple to Trajan himself. That's right. Trajan, either during his life or probably just after, was named a god by the Roman Senate, and then his divine soul was worshipped in this temple. How did Trajan get away with such megalomaniacal behavior and still go down in history as one of, if not the best, of Rome's emperors? I've never heard a good answer to this one. The fact is, Trajan's Forum is the kind of project that seems more fitting for someone like Nero or Caligula. My best guess, and it still leaves me a little unsatisfied, is that Trajan, unlike those emperors, actually backed up his claims to be greater than all mortal men. And he did it through his military victory over Dacia, and then other military victories that we'll talk about later. He was tolerant towards his Senate. His reign seems to have been economically prosperous, not entirely due to him, but largely due to bountiful harvests in Rome's grain-producing provinces. Trajan had the same touch that Augustus had. He was able to hold tremendous authority and influence, even overtly indicating that he was better than anybody else, without at the same time making other people feel small or robbing people of opportunities to succeed. This is a rare quality in very few Roman emperors. So Trajan, for example, just like Augustus, didn't insist on holding continuous consulships throughout his reign. He was good to the population. He threw impressive games and festivals and parades, but he did it without taking money from other people. The Romans called this liberalitas, by the way. They have a word for it, and it's a rare quality. And in addition to building monumental architecture, many of Trajan's works were practical and were economically beneficial. He commissioned thousands of miles of roads, for example, and perhaps most important of all, he gets credit for building one of the forerunners of the Suez Canal in Egypt, a canal which was called the River of Trajan. This waterway linked the Red Sea, and the Red Sea was a funnel into which a huge bounty of Eastern luxury goods, spices, jewels, silks, all those things entered the empire. So his canal connects the Red Sea with the Nile River. So that made a continuous waterway between Rome through the Mediterranean, then the Nile, then the canal, and then into the Red Sea and Indian Ocean. And so trade was now far cheaper and easier between Rome and the furthest parts of the East, all the way over to Han China. Yeah, maybe it was problematic for an emperor to portray himself as the greatest of all time when he truly wasn't. But Trajan, on the other hand, it sure seems, truly delivered a stunning 2 decades of expansion and prosperity to the Roman Empire. And so nobody begrudged him this massive forum. But we're not done yet. Trajan's ambitions were stratospheric. So even after adding Dacia to the Roman Empire and remodeling the center of Rome in his image and constructing great works of civil engineering, the emperor still wanted more glory. Ever interested in following after his hero, Alexander the Great, the man who conquered Persia and marched all the way to India, Trajan decided to set his sights east, and in his way was the mighty Parthian Empire, which no Roman had ever conquered. Well, as we'll see next time, no Roman until Trajan.
Thanks for listening to the Pax Romana podcast. For more information, including a list of primary sources and further reading, check the show notes. Music by Red Productions and Exocor. Follow Dr. Colin Elliott on X at ProfCPE or email colin@paxromanapodcast.com. Listen to more episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or just about anywhere podcasts are available. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Pax Romana podcast.